Good evening. We've been going through the reasons and ramifications of Christ's two-stage commissioning of Paul. Why did he choose to commission him in stages like that? At least two stages. The mid-Acts understanding sometimes misses the complete truth by seeming to equate the dispensation of the grace of God with the body of Christ. They seem to use the terms interchangeably. The later dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, is similar, but it's not identical to the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a group of saved believers. The dispensation of the grace of God is not a group of people. It's not a time period. The dispensation of the grace of God is the dispensing or testifying of God's grace to all people. It proclaims that anyone who will receive forgiveness based only on Christ's death for their sins and his resurrection is saved. The gospel of the grace of God proclaims that anyone will be immediately saved from the wages of sin by receiving Christ's death for their sins and his resurrection. And notice that the dispensing or testifying of the good news of the grace of God has no restriction of being to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as the gospel of Christ did have. And the Jews and the Greeks are included in the all men, though. But that's what Paul was doing late in his ministry, after Christ's later, "I will send thee," sending. He was going to all men, Christ was sending Paul to all men. 18 verses after he was sent, he writes in Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to me, unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That was Christ's later sending of Paul, which, I did some rearranging on these, and the commissioning and the sending are not interchangeable, and I still need to update some of these. Christ's later sending of Paul, it came after his earlier sending, commissioning and sending of Paul to the individual Jews and Greeks in the synagogues. In Acts 7, the nation of Israel had fallen from receiving the immediate at-hand kingdom of out of heaven. But there were individuals that God was still courting to believe the gospel that they had already heard. It was a prophetic thing. Apparently, they had heard... excuse me a minute. They apparently had heard the gospel of the circumcision and hadn't yet decided that Jesus was the risen Messiah, or decided against it. They weren't sure. They were mulling it over, so to speak, as time passed. But that is only the Israel half of the picture. There were others during that dispensation of the gospel that would come as sinners to believe the gospel of Christ and be members of the formerly unrevealed body of Christ. But we'll look at some verses for the body of Christ side of that period, after we first look at some of these verses about the prophetic side. We're going to look, let me just list where we're heading here. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 12 and 13, familiar verses. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 9, and chapter 7, verses 17 to 20. And we may not get to all of those tonight, but we'll try and get them tomorrow in the final lesson in this series. Starting in 1 Corinthians 1:12, Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Let's look through those four names. There's Paul, and he has the mystery and rightly divides it from the prophetic writings to which he also knew the prophetic writings. He studied it for years, you know, when he was under Gamaliel. But consider Apollos and Cephas and Christ in his earthly ministry. They all three of those had a prophetic viewpoint, but there were differences between them. Apollos, he had only known the baptism of John. Christ only preached that the promised kingdom was at hand. Cephas, Peter, he actually preached that Christ would return with the kingdom if they believed. Cephas was actually offering the kingdom to Israel, but they rejected it. And then there's Paul, who is about the body of Christ. But is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? They were making bigger differences than there actually were. They were indulging in the old idea that Jews by birth are better than anyone else. It was like Peter's initial attitude toward Cornelius, remember? It was like, get away from me, you Gentiles. And that also shows up the need for the saving gospel to be dispensed to the Jews first. In any case, individual Jews were going to believe either the gospel of God or the salvation gospel of Christ to be saved. They needed for alien Gentiles, like those that didn't care about Israel or synagogues or God, they needed for those alien Gentiles to be somewhat tamed down when they started coming in and getting saved, coming into those Paul's meetings. When they were meeting in Paul's meetings with the believing Jews, the Jews needed something a little tamer. That is apparently part of human nature, though, so it probably shows up today in our attitudes. The body of Christ, churches, and members were not to think of the Jerusalem church and the churches of Judea with Peter, James, John as being their enemies or their competitors or somehow satanic. That wasn't to be part of their thinking. It wasn't part of the doctrine. They were both saved by Christ, or being saved by Christ, as Israel had to endure to the end to be saved. Christ was still their Savior. Both groups. They both believed that Christ had died for their sins, even though they had different gospels of salvation, different word of truth. And to check that out, Ephesians 1:13, 1 Peter 1:18-19, James 1:18, and James 2:24. Israel believed that Christ was the Lamb of God for them. The body of Christ believed that Christ died for our sins and rose again for our justification, saving those who believe that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was sufficient to save them. There were those elements active in the Corinthian Church of God that came out of the Jewish synagogue. Paul was addressing that contentious atmosphere, and he was trying to draw them together. There was no sign like a halo over the ones that would believe the gospel of Christ. Paul had to just preach the gospel of God as if no one had heard anything about the gospel before, as we see in Acts 17, verses 2 and 3. But look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. We'll start in verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. In other words, this Paul speaking, and he's speaking in textually, I guess you would say, in a letter and in an epistle, and he's addressing the Church of God, that group of two groups of people that came out of the synagogue because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. And they weren't welcome in the synagogue. They met with other, I call it Paul's meeting, but in some of those cases, Paul wasn't there. It was other people trusted in his fellow workers that would help them and teach them the doctrine. But he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? So he's addressing both factions in that single meeting of people that had been expelled from the synagogue. But they were ministers. He says, who are they? But the ministers by whom you believed. Well, they didn't all believe the same thing, but they did now believe something that God had offered at some point. Even as the Lord gave to every man. So at that time, the Lord was giving to some of them to believe as Apollos taught. Probably by then it was the same as Peter taught. Or to believe as Paul taught, those two factions. Paul was talking to a widely mixed group there in Corinth. Some were believing Jews, and some were believing members of the body of Christ. This is the group that had come out of the synagogue because they believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah. They had come out and they met in Paul's meeting in that house joined hard to the synagogue, and there was no place else for the believing Jews to meet when they started believing that Jesus was their Messiah. They could not meet in the synagogue. They were not welcome. They were expelled, according to John 9:22, John 12:42, and John 16:2. The believing Jews also met in Paul's meeting. So when Paul said, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. The ye there, that is that mixed group. Some Jews had believed that Jesus was the Messiah by the ministry or preaching of Peter or Apollos. Those who believed the gospel of God and Paul's gospel of Christ were in the body of Christ by Paul's ministry. So Paul was saying, he was still saying, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believed? The body of Christ members had believed Paul, and the Jews believing the gospel of God in that group, believed the circumcision teachers, like Apollos, Peter. I'm not sure if John and James, James had been killed by then. Of course, he was killed in Acts 12. But let's read through the verse and go on through verses 6 and 7. This is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Without giving, you know, if God hadn't given the increase, then nothing would have happened. Verse 7, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So no matter which side, the body of Christ or the circumcision, it's God that is doing it in that brief period from Acts 13 to Acts 19. Now, you can't just ignore it because it's a short time, only about a quarter century, because we've got six epistles from Paul in that period, written in that period with a different flavor. And people don't realize who it was written to, that it was written to that mixture of Jews and Body of Christ members. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That's that's quite a statement, isn't it? So there you see it again, though. The two groups were not competing. Peter is not the enemy. I'm trying to expose what Paul has said here. He did not say that Peter and Paul preached the same doctrine. He did not say they preached the same gospel. It doesn't say that. Read it again. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Well, Paul was still talking to that mixed group. The teachers were the we. Both, you know, that was both Peter believing believing and preaching the circumcision gospel, and it was Paul believing and preaching the uncircumcision gospel. So Paul said in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3, 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Do you know what husbandry is? Husbandry is the vine keepers. If you look in what Jesus said in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so Paul wrote, saying in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3, 9, ye are God's husbandry. Well, he was talking to that mixed group. Some of them definitely were. That ye are God's husbandry, that the ye there are the circumcision believers that came out of the synagogue and met in Paul's meeting. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. That ye there in ye are God's building are the ones that are being built up together in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 14. Those verses about the building of the body of Christ. And that refers to the body of Christ, people that were in that same mixed group, Paul's meeting. After we read the building verses about Paul's meeting and the building of the body of Christ, we can see the fact that the two groups meeting together in 1 Corinthians 7, we'll see the verification, confirmation, another source, another account telling us about it. But first, let's look at God's building in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 14. And I'm going to read through them. And we're going to have to wait, I think. And we got time. Maybe we'll go ahead and read the 1 Corinthians 7 also. But here is 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.